look at the Word for a few moments this day and turn with me, if you will, into the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. As we turn there, let's keep in mind some of the teaching that is involved. We're talking about, and the Bible is speaking about, the birth of no one less than our Lord Jesus Christ. I've often wondered who the chronicler was that gave us the intimate details of what happened to Mary before this Lord Jesus was born. And I would imagine it had to be Mary and or Joseph that gave the information. And it's kind of interesting, for it's tremendously personal. And as this personal note is laid out in Scripture, and as this personal note is put out in front of us, let us take heart. There isn't one of us in this congregation that has been hurt or damaged, that Jesus hasn't been hurt or damaged ahead of you. There was nothing worse in the day in which he lived for a woman to be with child and not yet be married. There were several alternatives. An abortion could happen and take place in the crudest fashion. She should have been stoned and killed, the child as well. Or by the time Joseph and Mary had come along, humanitarianism had taken its place, and people did things nicely. They swept the problem under the table or under the rug, as it were, and quietly and without much publicity, there was a divorce. And then we come to these beautiful words in the second chapter and the 11th verse, the proclamation of the angels: unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Lord. It happened. Now, the very personal details prior to this birth are ours as a great blessing. We don't often look at them. But then we come to this place where we must look at this house of David, the place called Bethlehem of Judea. The word name Bethlehem means bread, or the house of bread. It's a city that was southwest of Jerusalem. It's important in the Bible, for we read, for instance, in Genesis 35 and in verses 16 through 19, and later in Genesis 48 and verse 7, we discover that Rachel died and was buried there, and Benjamin was born there. It's an important little city, a very important little place. We also read in Ruth 1, that it was the city of Boaz. Ruth married Boaz. Jeroboam converted it into a military stronghold. We read of that in 2 Chronicles 11:6. And we also discover that it was the city of Joseph, this Joseph that married Mary, this Joseph that was the human guardian of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, and his human parent, that is, his guardian whilst on earth. If you've not had a father around, Jesus understood what that could mean. And he had a guardian. His name was Joseph. You can read it in Matthew 2, verses 5 and 6, here in Luke 2 and verse 4. But also, if you go into Matthew 2 and 16 and 18, you'll discover how it was that in this city, this little city, this city where so much of the history of the Jewish nation, of the house of David, was so involved, this city was the city where the children from 2 years and under were slaughtered by Herod. We have to ask some questions. Who was it that came? Verse 11 of chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel tells us it was Christ the Lord. No one less than Christ the Lord. No one less than the only begotten of the Father. Let's get back, not into the Christmas spirit, but into the original story, the original truth of Christmas. It was Christ the Lord, unto you is born. Jesus the Lord was predicted. He was the expected Messiah. He was the God appointed and the God anointed. He was God's only begotten Son. He was God's remedy for the problems of the world. What had been lost in Eden were to be regained now in Christ. And God's method, God's program, if you like, for man was to bring man back to himself through his wondrous Son. In this instance, he was called the Lord Jesus, Christ the Lord. He was Christ Jehovah, Christ Yahweh, Christ the Lord. He was born. Imagine the plight of the shepherds at that announcement. They knew the scriptures that no one had seen God at any time and lived, yet they say, let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord hath revealed unto us. And they went and they saw not some flame, not some consuming fire, not some vast brilliance that would change their countenance, but they saw a baby in a manger wrapped in strips of clothing, strips of rags, and this baby was Christ the Lord. They could look upon him. They could see him. They could touch him. They could listen to him. God thought it not robbery to take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and to dwell with us, starting at birth and going on through into manhood. Jesus was very man and very God. Let's ask another question. How he came? I've often mentioned to you that a baby causes great excitement in the inner circle of the family and in the wider circle of the relatives, and then sometimes there's a ripple effect into the village or into the hamlet or even into the town and occasionally into the city, and very occasionally if a prince or princess is born, that the birth ripples, the effects ripple out into the nation and perhaps into the empire or into the holdings of that nation, and therefore into the world. But Jesus was born in poverty. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, laid in a manger with strips of bandages, as it were. He was wrapped. This was poverty in its essence. He wasn't really threatening anyone. But unto you is born. Listen to the words. They have tremendous power. He was born. And he's born Savior, but he was born. We love to look at our children. We love to look at our grandchildren. We love to see other children. We love to see these beautiful little children. And we talk about them constantly. You have only to find some proud grandparent who will tell you, well, the child now is so many pounds and so many inches. The child now is talking, is walking, is doing all kinds of things. There is a boasting system that goes on between grandparents. Parents really don't know too much. They just say, oh, yes, the child's going on. Jesus was born. It's interesting how this sanctifies motherhood. For those ladies amongst us who would really like to press for the ERA and other things, I want you to understand that Jesus sanctified motherhood years ago. For those Victorianisms and those Victorian attitudes that tell us that men and women should never speak of sex and should never speak of the birth of children, that's a lot of nonsense. Jesus was born a child into this great system of life. And as Jesus was born, he sanctified motherhood. Let us remember its sanctity in the day in which we live. We need to remember that this being born, this very process of conception, the process of birth, the process of being born. Let's understand, Jesus sanctified it by his presence, which was divine. It was God revealing sanctification even in this process. It should bring you teenagers to the place and others who would play the fool. It should bring us to the place where we understand that womanhood is a sanctified thing. How this sanctifies womanhood, motherhood. In contrast to non-Christian religions, in contrast to the present day in which we live and the tendencies in which we seem to evolve day by day, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus sanctified not only womanhood, but also motherhood. It's a great shame, not because of sin necessarily that's being committed, but it is a great shame when a child is brought into this world and has no father. When a child is brought into this world because of accident, and the child hears about it for the rest of the child's life, whether we live in this generation or in some past generation. What honor, what dignity Jesus conferred upon the human race. He thought it not robbery to take on the likeness of sinful flesh, sin-filled flesh, and dwell amongst us. Yet he was without sin. In doing this, he linked God himself with the human race. He said there is a great likeness. God had said that he created man in his own image. And Jesus now, in a sense, says this great likeness between us is revealed in that I have taken on the shell of humanity. I have taken on the shell of a body. I have taken on the likeness of human flesh. And I'm dwelling in your very presence. No other God-like person or creature or imagination can boast of this. It's interesting to see that surely it proves not only the manhood of our Lord Jesus, but also his divinity. We discover this, that he was born, that proves his manhood. And then truly he was human as well as eternally divine. He spans the gulf between God and man. And there is a great gulf, and it's very greatly fixed. He spans that gulf. He was born. And this in itself is a mystery. Let's ask another question. Where was he born? I've already taken you into Bethlehem of Judea. I've already said to you that this was the city of David. It was also Bethlehem, the place of shepherds. It was Jacob's precious Rachel that was buried there, Benjamin that was born there, Ruth gleaned the fields there and married Boaz there. Joab and Abishai were from there. They were mighty men and they had massive deeds. And above all, it was David's city. David was born there. It was David's Messiah, the successor to David, that was born there. And God kept his word from the lineage of David. But when was he born? Listen to the words. Look at them yourself in verse 11. This day, these shepherds were left in no way to wonder when this took place. This day in the city of David. Today, right now. The great proclamation from the skies that reached down into the gardens where these men were, into the fields where the shepherds lay with their sheep. This day, right now. I have to tell you that Jesus is as important this day as he was that day, and the importance of Jesus to this congregation this day is so massive that today is the day that God has said is the day of your reckoning with God. Come close to God this day. Instead of getting all worked into the sentimentality of Christmas, instead of getting into the spirit of Christmas, come, remember the birth of Jesus at Christmas this day. This day is the day of gladdening. This day was the day when the shepherds' hearts were lifted. This day was the day when hope was given to the world. This day was the day when the Roman soldiers and the centurions and all their wickedness and cruelty were pushed backwards. This was the day when people like Herod were shoved to a side. A child was born this day, and he was Christ the Lord. This is the day when the temptation and the sin and the depravity and the wretchedness and the guilt and the horror of sin, this is the day it can be pushed back and Jesus, the child of Bethlehem, can be let in. This is the day. This day is Jesus born into your life. How condemning it is to us. These shepherds went off to see this day what was happening. Many a person doesn't bother to discover what is happening this day. But I share with you in a loving way and yet a forceful way, thousands have yet to hear that this day was the mightiest day in the calendar next to Calvary that ever took place. We try to read what the stars say. We read about our horrible scopes. What is the horror of the scope of our tomorrows? We try to glean from our palms and we try to glean from the history of mankind what the future will be. Dear ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was born in this day. Jesus was crucified on another day. And on a third day, Jesus rose triumphant o'er his foes. And that's changed the history of man. The shepherds saw the Savior of the world. The shepherds saw the Messiah, the Son of God, and they rejoiced. Their hearts were gladdened. New hope was infused into their lives, and rejoicing, they went on their way. This day, when was he born? On this day. It was the day that the Lord had made for sure. It was a day of days for sure. It was a wondrous day for God's love revealed to man in such a tangible way. His love, his love for man, his love for you, his love for me. Why was he born? Let's ask that question. I remember as a little fellow wondering why I was born. I've seen children look in a mirror and look at their faces and pull their faces in all directions. I've listened to teenagers as they've come in from school. They failed a test. They flunked some course and they've come in and they've said, "Oh, why was I born?" I've listened to older people all the way up beyond my own age where people have said, "I don't know why God ever allowed me to be born. Why was I born?" Here's the reason Jesus was born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That's why he was born. His name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. His name is Emmanuel, Yahweh with us, Jehovah with us, God with us. This is why he was born. This is why he was born. No angels sang over any philosophers that you care to name, whether they are the great Grecian or Roman philosophers or the philosophers of Europe right up into this modern time. The heavens didn't open, trumpets did not blare, and angels did not say, "Such a philosopher is born." No statesman has ever had such a herald into this world. No statesman, as long as you want to go back into history and as far as you want to look out into the future, no statesman was ever given such a heralding from heaven. God was expressing his excitement. He said to these shepherds, "I want you to go and see what I've done. I want you to go and see what's happening. God is with you." Statesmen sometimes get very proud of what they've achieved. King David wasn't heralded this way.
Why, when Samuel was choosing the man that should take the throne after the Saul would demise, he was looking round and he was looking for shoulders wide and height very tall. He was looking for handsomeness. He was looking for aggressiveness. He was looking for a fine administrator. And all he was told by the Spirit of God was this boy who had curly hair and a ruddy complexion and played a strange instrument called a guitar in modern language and sang the strangest songs. This was God's man. But when he was born, the angels didn't sing. There was no star that guided some group of kings from a far-off country who traveled for approximately 2 years. There was nothing like that. The philosopher develops, the statesman increases his knowledge and ability to be a statesman. The warrior learns his skill and becomes an excellent warrior and becomes the champion of the people. But Jesus is none. He was born the King of the Jews. He died the King of the Jews. He rose from the grave, King of the Jews and King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty God. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born that way. You see, we need to have another look. There are those titanic tidings that said this is the Savior. And he didn't say that he was a Savior of a specific group. He was the Savior of the world. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Jehovah, the Yahweh, the God, the Lord. A Savior from sin, a Savior from death, a Savior from hell. He is the Savior. These are the glad tidings indeed, for heaven knows God is not willing that anyone should perish. There's good news. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Recently, I stood amongst some medical people, watched a dear friend leave this world and go into the next. I watched a dear friend go into the arms of Jesus. And I listened to various people make their comments after that he'd gone. And they said, you know, we didn't want him to go. We didn't want him to die. And I thought how strange it is, with all the paraphernalia and all the excellence of medical profession of the day in which we live, we still have to give a person up to death. No matter what we do, we cannot stop the process of these bodies. They have to die. It is given unto man once to be born and once to die. Ladies and gentlemen, why was he born? God isn't willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to die. He was born that sin could be defeated. He was born that death could be defeated. He was born that hell could be robbed of its prey. And he succeeded in all three. Lastly, let me ask you this. Unto whom did he come? Listen to these beautiful words. They are the most hallelujah words in all the world, I think. I think they are the words that should bring Christians standing from their seats. It should bring Christians that are standing to stand on their pews. It should bring Christians with an enormous guffaw of laughter, with a colossal and a great amen and a hallelujah. It should bring congregations up out of the very apathy that they sometimes find themselves in with an enormous praise God from whom this blessing flows. For unto you was he born. For unto you was he sent. I think next to the words that we read in the Gospels that Jesus went to that leper and he touched him, I think next to those words, these are the most electrifying. They are the most soul-pulsing. They are the most soul-creating. They are the most wondrous words that have ever been spoken. Unto you is born a Savior. That is, unto the shepherds, that is unto the people of Israel, that is unto mankind as opposed to angels, that is very distinctly unto you. God at Christmas time gave you a wondrous gift. All the gifts that you and I give this Christmas cannot match the gift of God, which is eternal life. All the gifts that we give are very poor imitations of expressions of love. But God so loved you that He gave His Son. He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And He said, as it were, "This is my begotten Son." They will reverence Him. But the world said, "Here is God's Son. Let us kill Him and claim the inheritance is ours." And they did that. But He returned. And He returned triumphant o'er His foes. He arose a mighty victor from the dark domain. And He lives forever with His saints, those that love Him. He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. Jesus, God's great gift that we remember at Christmas. Jesus, the Savior of mankind. Jesus, the only begotten of God. Do you love Him? Have you received Him? Are you alive in Him? That side are, this side isn't. Do you love Jesus? I'm going to move to another denomination. Let's pray. God be with us. God overcome us. Lord, fill us. Heavenly Father, prove to our souls this very day once more that Jesus is the great gift that Thou hast given. Almighty God, make Him a living, bright reality. Almighty Father, make Him to us the only one. Bless now this congregation with Thy holy presence. Remind us all that unto us is born this wonderful Savior, Christ the Lord. And we ask it in Thy holy name. Amen.